Picks Celebrated Stomach Bitters presents Rosa Fernandez in today's radio show. Do we smell like oranges?
Not only on this day, but every day in 1905, Hicks Celebrated Stomach Bitters should be in homes across the nation. These bitters act as a cure, as well as preventing sudden chills and colds. A dose or two at the first symptom will save much unnecessary suffering. It also cures dyspepsia, indigestion, constipation, biliousness, and general debility. Why don't you try a bottle? With nothing to lose except what ails you. Available at all druggists. And now, Hicks Celebrated Stomach Bitters brings you, Do We Smell Like Oranges?
Our heroine, Diane, a young mother of three, finds herself admitted to a psych ward in 1997, struggling to live. Colliding memories amid hallucinations with her great-great-grandparents help bring her through the other side of her current situation. This radio drama, based in truth, is a gripping piece about mental health and the battle to slay your own dragon. Now let's join Diane on her first night behind locked doors on the third floor.
Diane and Harriet, places for Buffalo Psych Ward 1997. Confirm Harriet has shotgun. Thank you. Can we get a spotlight for Diane, please? I stand in a bright room, naked, like some scavenged robot on a mythical planet from a sci-fi movie. Dented, scared, vulnerable, waiting to learn my fate. But I'm not a robot, nor am I on a Hollywood backlot. Instead, I stand stripped in front of a window, looking out into the dark. The streetlights below cast shadows on the fountain in the middle of the roundabout. If I can see what's outside, doesn't that mean that people can look in and see me? Close the blinds, I say to myself, not able to make any words come out of my mouth. I hear the nurses talking and looking at me, recording scratches and bruises and scars. Is this one new? That one looks old. I'm in my body, yet strangely, I am not. Spotlight up on Harriet, please.
I'll be waiting for him.
You tell him if you see him,
I'll be waiting for him. Sitting in this rocking chair with a shotgun across my lap. Waiting for him.
John never did go back to see Nana Rothrock. What's a drunk, gambling bastard to do? Here, put this on. I'm handed a lifeless hospital gown with a few strings to tie. Underwear? Can't I at least get my underwear back? Without it, I feel foreign and cold.
The damn fool gambles everything away. The cattle, the land, now the homestead. Well, he wants to come traipsing back into our lives? I think not. On the other hand, no. You tell John I don't want to see him at all.
I feel eyes upon me as I'm led past darkened rooms where people are supposed to be asleep. I make my way into the large common room where tables are joined, neatly in rows. The smell is somewhere between nursing homes and a school cafeteria.
Let's give him a good old shivery.
Congratulations! Write us as soon as you settle in.
Don't take any plugged nickels.
Aren't they brave, heading west, their whole life ahead of them?
Someone calm that mare down.
Folks get their college certificates, and what do they but head out to Indian Territory? Fools, I say.
Longing for a beer, my headache tells me different. Can't someone turn down the TV? Tim was at a hockey game tonight. I couldn't bring myself to have him paged at the odd. Tim Jones, can you call your wife, please? Instead, he'll come home to a note on the counter that I'm here and the children are with a friend. Welcome home, babe. Sorry.
John worked hard as a lumberman, and I don't rightly recall when he started taking to whiskey.
The male nurse on duty is nice. He rolls a cot over in front of the nurse's station, tells me, "You sleep here tonight. We need to keep an eye on you. Front and center on suicide watch." Not exactly what I had planned for a Sunday evening. I comply as I'm no longer in charge.
Thousands of people, horses, dogs. The sun was shining bright as far as one could see. Well, we was all waiting for noon and the start of the race. Well, back of the boomer wagon was me, Hazel, and Braylee, neither one no older than 5. My mother, too. We was hoping to catch a glimpse of the land race. When the starting shot rang out, our fool horses bolted. One rut and we'll all be on the ground getting trampled dead. Can't you rein them in?
We'll hold them as straight as we can, ma'am. They'll stop when they get good and tired.
Even if just by accident, we were in that race for some 6 miles, holding on for dear life.
It's hard to sleep in the room painted orange. I'm suicidal, but I don't want to die. I'm suicidal, but I don't want to die. I'm suicidal.
Patient states ideations and migraines worsen at Menzies.
The hay is in, supper's on, and there's not enough energy left for arguing in the house. It's a good night on the prairie. I got the upright tuned, and my first student of the season arrives next week.
Never know when fending for yourself is the only choice you've got, Ma always said. So you best be prepared.
It's a dark night in New York City. Christmas decorations are distorted by the rain. I find myself wandering into a bar with big front windows, depressed, alone. It seems to be New Year's Eve. Only happy people are saddled up to the bar. My miserable self joins them. I take a couple of shots of whiskey, feeling it burn on the way down. Some guy I think I've met before walks in, pulling me off my bar stool. He reminds me of one of my college teachers, lecturing me as he drags me out about how I'm spending too much money, running up debt, drinking too much. I tell myself it's just a dream and not my reality, but those lines are getting crossed.
The authorities showed up to the homestead wanting to talk with John about one of his boozing pals. Seems this lug has been hanging around John, gambling at the horse races. They found him in town, shot dead. I told the sheriff I didn't know anything about the man. But John piped up he had a room at the hotel and rather loudly told him so. He better not be mixed up in this any more than he's letting on.
Patient spent yesterday in bed, rocking back and forth.
The sun's up. The view of the city is too nice for institutional food. Please let Tim be all right with the kids. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been months since my last confession, and I think my family might be better off without me. I can't seem to get off this roller coaster ride from hell. You've been here 3 times already this year? I hope things work out for you this time, I say to a lady I've just met, not sure of anything. Hey, Nana?
Yes, dear?
Do we smell like oranges?
No, I don't think so.
The very night she died, distraught at losing her, I was visited in a dream by Tim's mom, Arlene. I found myself standing in her living room, where she sat on her couch, happy, smiling, looking great considering she had just died of a heart attack. She pats the cushion next to her, beckoning me to sit. I sit. Looking me straight in the eyes, she said,
"Don't worry, dear. It's going to be all right."
I believed her. Is that why you're here, Nana Brothrock?
Do you need me to spell it out for you?
Maybe. More likely, you're just my daily cocktail of Lithabid, Risperidol, Neurontin, Lorazepam, Imitrex, and Naproxen talking.
Yeah, I heard you, John. So you're leaving. Good. I'm taking the children and we're moving into town with my mother. Be sure to get your good-for-nothing self out of here. Don't try and find us. Be gone. We've lost everything on account of you.
Patient is suicidal and homicidal.
Can we get the lights changed here, please? Thank you. Care to join me at the activity table, Nana? I got my underthings back. Makes this transition less drafty and uncomfortable for us all. Nice. A seaside puzzle started.
What brings you ladies to group today?
Keeping myself from committing suicide is high on my list, Doctor.
A notable goal, Diane.
And putting an end to this month's parade of migraines.
How long have you felt this way?
Exactly how long is this session?
And you, Harriet?
Oh, no. I'm with her.
Yes, yes.
No, really? Don't I look a bit out of place in this here dress? Sitting with a shotgun across my lap?
Might as well jump in, Nana. The water's tepid at best.
Yes, your shotgun.
Don't even think about that, Sonny.
I've noticed that you call Harriet Nana.
Nana is my great-great-grandmother on my mother's side.
On her mother's side.
Which makes you...
dead?
A ghost?
A group hallucination.
Well, I am on lorazepam. Hey, I think I found a piece that fits.
All nurses to the nurses' station.
You named your first son, John.
Yes.
After my husband?
Yes.
Another one named John. Why would you go and do a thing like that?
I have some old family photos of you living out there in the Oklahoma Territory. Prized possessions passed down. Mixed in the stack is a photo of John, further out west in Washington. He's sitting in a room with a big grin on his face. On the back, a handwritten note. John, after an overfeed of trout. How could we resist that?
How'd he look?
Grayer, older, a pipe in his mouth and a twinkle in his eye. As a matter of fact, John's got a single-barrel shotgun across his lap. Family trend here.
Now then, Diane, can you describe a typical day for you? What is it like to be in your skin, as it were?
A typical day. I'm feeling good about my life. Then, boom, it leaves me in an instant. Like a shark fin that shoots out of the back of my neck. I find myself circling the water, short-tempered, out of control.
Interesting. Do go on.
Deadlines push me out of bed in the early hours of the morning. Before breakfast, my three young children are tossed in the mix like spices, peppering my never-ending driving from martial arts to dance classes to PTO to preschool, Amnesty International, freelance, and art society meetings. Mix in throwing a frozen turkey carcass across the kitchen with a few drops of debilitating migraines and a pinch of mood swings, while adding a large dose of perfectionism, anxiety, anger, and control issues. Try and fold that gently into a buttered pan and bake to a golden bubbly. I don't think so, Doc. It's a burned, smelly mess.
Hmm.
Is that a good hmm or a bad hmm? I won't rest until I know everyone in the room is pleased with me and my efforts.
What's PTO?
Harriet, let's look at a typical day for you.
Do I need to remind you that I'm fine and don't need you looking at me for hysteria? The dead should be left to lie, Doctor.
Hostile, non-cooperative, look at anger issues at next session. It says here in your chart, Diane, you are taking drugs beginning with the letters L, R, N, and I. Stay with me here. You are riding on train A, diagnosed with adult ADHD, while traveling west towards Buffalo at 60 miles per hour. At the same time, train B is 260 miles away, heading east at 70 miles per hour to New York City. After speaking with you for 30 minutes, I'm inclined to switch you to train B on track 2, assigning you new drugs, starting with letters D, W, P, and K. At this point, we only know one of the unknowns, your new meds. We need to solve the problem for the last unknown, your new diagnosis. Can either of you solve the two-train problem, or shall I?
Is this what the future in medicine looks like, Diane?
From my current point of view, Nana, it's pretty close to accurate.
It used to be, we solved what ails you with herbs and teas from the Indians.
May I have the bottles from your pockets, please? Thank you, Diane. These are your new prescriptions for Depakote, Wellbutrin, Prozac, and Klonopin. You're welcome. Borderline personality disorder is our special of the day, so I'm going to switch your diagnosis over to that for a month or until a new one comes along. Please don't worry, you won't have allergic reactions to all of the drugs.
Great.
That's all the time we have for today. See you both tomorrow at 3 p.m. sharp.
Nana and John, places with your chairs, please. Lights up on the Oklahoma Prairie Homestead, 1900.
Lots of stars out tonight, Hattie.
Sure are, John.
Feels like that night before the land race, don't it?
A bit.
You remember hearing those thoroughbreds after they was hamstrung?
Not exactly a sound I wish to be remembering. What brings that to mind? Even being in the family way, if I had found the men that did that, I'd have put those scoundrels down myself. All that only to get a stake in the ground.
Sure enough. Things had near enough settled down when your fool brother decided to raise up between the horses, pull out the big gat, and shoot twice in the air. Hundreds of people ran over to see what might be going on. He just fired those shots and then dropped right back down to see the reaction of the crowd. All on account of him getting himself a story.
I'm sure Tom made quite an article.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, never mind him. After all that ruckus, there was no sleep to be had.
Tried to get you to come with me on top of that thrashing straw to get some shut-eye.
Selling me such a story, trying to get us sleep. Close to 3 hours after midnight it was.
You always see through me, Hattie Rothrock.
I know you miss lumbering, John, but you staked us this land and built us the sweetest house around. This farm, working it with the children, it's been worth the long ramble out here.
What about that shiny new upright? You like it all right?
John, she's a beauty.
She's yours.
Actors stay at places for the homestead while we go back to 1896. How young the children look.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled.
Merry Christmas, children.
Merry Christmas, Mother.
Has anyone seen your father?
No, Mama.
Well, must be in the barn, then.
Look, Mama. You can't see outside the window for so much snow. Ain't it pretty?
Sure is, Hazel. Braylee, fetch your brother crawling over yonder.
Can't we open our presents, please?
Soon enough. John! Land's sake! You look like a snow monster. Where have you been? Oh, Merry Christmas, John.
Merry Christmas, my dear. Been rigging up the boomer wagon. I know what it means to get to your mother's for Christmas dinner.
No, it's not worth the risk of us all freezing to death in this blizzard for the sake of keeping tradition with my folks.
Except in that winter in Chippewa Falls, we haven't ever missed a Christmas dinner. Some wind and snow ain't going to be the reason we miss out this year.
Very well, then.
Can you get the children ready? I put the rope between here and the barn to hold on. Still got to pack the blankets and get that headstrong pair of colts hitched up. I say we let them run the whole way there.
Well, stay here a bit while the children open their stockings.
Not if you want to be getting to Blackwell today.
Grandmother will be watching at the window for us coming over the knoll. It's sure to be a Merry Christmas, Mama.
Yes, Hazel. Let us hope so.
Did you make it there, Nana?
We did. Child, and a wild ride it was. I packed some tins with cheese and biscuits, well, just in case. My mother was never happier seeing us stumble through the door, telling me she had never given up on John getting us there. Oh, how delightful everything smelled. I was never so happy to see my folks.
My mom drove down from Michigan to stay with us for a while. The kids need something constant, and that is not the definition of me. Paging the doctor today, I left the following message with their answering service. I am experiencing severe depression, dizziness, confusion, anxiety, and anger. I now feel electronic pulses going right to left through my brain. One time, two times, three times in a row. Music and lights, please, for the New York City Backstage Fashion Show, 1980. Boogie down.
Hurry up, Diane, you are late! And who did your makeup? Peter Max? You look beat to hell! Out at 54 all night again? Oh, that's right, you never get in there. Xenons is more your speed. Why do I get the BT models?
I just don't know. You are an A-plus designer doctor.
Yes, yes, merci, merci.
You must have me confused with someone else. I'm an advertising design student. I'm not a model. The runway show, my ticket is to see it, not be in it.
It's too late for that now. You're still on for the finale. Don't screw it up.
Who are you?
As if. I'm Dr. Ofterek. I teach all the other doctors here at this fine psych ward fashion school. Need a new drug? I stitch one up in no time. Your diagnosis not to your liking? I have a sketch pad full of new ones. Knock off drugs on the cheap? I'm your man.
And they call me Manic.
This is the latest in our spring, summer, fall collection. Lots of layers and no layers at all. What's your size?
Are you kidding? Got anything in a 7? 8? 9? 10?
Sacre bleu! What a sense of humor! In this hospital, we specialize in virtual fashion. One size fits all. Put these on. Our latest pink propanenol leggings, where hallucinations are never an option. Next, the perfect leather mid-calf Pexel boots. Don't you just adore this turtleneck crop top made with fabric from Swedes on Synthroid? I just love this jumper. You?
No.
What an ingenious idea it was, using this dyed Ritalin wool.
Wool makes me itch.
You'll be fine, schoolgirl.
Now, for the pièce de résistance. A Dali-inspired silk scarf covered in the letters OCD, where the O's intersect to spell out bipolar. Just like a New York Times crossword puzzle. I am brilliant. Anxious yet?
Anxious was back at the boots. I'm now clearly at the intersection of Madison Avenue and full-blown Panic Attack Boulevard.
Fabulous! Now, take that for a walk. Bring it home, Diane.
Stand by for Sunday morning church in a village outside Buffalo, 1997. Thank you. Art awards. Straight A's. Captain. President. Queen. Mom. Dad. It's frigid and gray for a Sunday in April. Freezing rain pelts the white minivan on the way to church. After singing the entrance song, my anxiety grows into a full-blown panic attack. Everyone around me seems like total strangers, including my mother, Tim, and our three young children. My heart pounds, my breathing rapid, and all I can think about is escaping the building, my skin, my life. I bolt for the door. As I pass Tim, I tell him not to follow me. He doesn't. I proceed to walk the 4 country miles back home in the freezing drizzle. In no time, I'm soaking wet, my hands, feet, and face numb. A welcome feeling. The power of the vehicles rushing past me is exhilarating and frightful. God, I am angry. Why me? I am tired. Why me? I am hopeless, empty, gray. Can you show me a sign, God? It's early spring in Buffalo, and I'm praying to you in the sleet. Maybe a crocus at my feet as I walk home. A razor blade? A rusty, single-edge razor blade. This is your idea of a sign from on high. An almighty sense of humor. Fortunately, most of my recent ideations include handguns and rope, so the razor isn't completely off-putting. I ask you for a crocus. You send me a razor. My brain says, screw all of you. I'll paint it into a collage. That's what artists do.
Tonight's episode was brought to you by Hicks, Celebrated Stomach Bitters. Don't miss the exciting conclusion of Do We Smell Like Oranges, starring Rosa Fernandez as Diane, next week at the same time. Do We Smell Like Oranges has been produced by Leaves Are Falling Fast Productions, written by Diane Jones, under the direction of Tracy Snyder, starring Rosa Fernandez as Diane, Lisa Vitrano as Harriet, and Todd Benson as the Doctor. These fine actors also play multiple roles. Our announcer is Matthew Reformat, and our commercial spot announcer, Tracy Snyder.